Friends, we have so far studied five chapters, which gives the basics of the trade and various terminologies, various rules, various regulations in general are applied to the international trade. We are slowly moving and entering into the actual trade. So, it was very essential to know right from the beginning for the new beginner as well as the existing people various type of documents that is required to be prepared for either import or export. You will understand that this kind of trade, which is international in nature, cross-border trade, where geography is different, people are different, and also language is the biggest barrier. Beyond that, the regulations are also different from country to country. And it all depends upon developed countries, developing countries, and underdeveloped countries. Considering this, a small back note. ICC and Government of India also come to the conclusion that there should be a minimal document and also the document as per the requirement of the buyer's country that can be prepared. No additional documents are required in international trade. Friends, please remember, whenever we call it as a trade, there is always exchange of the goods with the cost, and that is money. That is a foreign exchange. So there are three aspects. One, goods movement, currency movement, and ultimately it is depending upon what? It is depending upon the documents. So, financial intermediary is the bank. And that bank will only deal in the documents. Banks who handle the foreign trade will deal with only the document, and they will not entertain any request of the supplier or exporter or of the buyer or the importer regarding quality, quantity, cost of the goods. So goods are outside the purview of the banking parlance. Banks are dealing with the documents, and the traders are dealing with the goods. There is a clear line of demarcation. So, whenever there is any export happens, the documents are prepared by the exporter, and that has to be submitted to the bank. Bank scrutinize the document, only read the document. Bank will never see what kind of good is, what is the goods, whether it is standard quality, substandard quality, or whatever it may be. So, to understand it better, there is a clear definition or clear demarcation in international trade, certain minimum requirement of the document, quality, and content of the document is very, very important. Therefore, this particular chapter is dedicated only and only to understand documents in international trade, which we are going to cover here is introduction of the foreign trade documents, then commercial document, official document, insurance document, transport document, and financial and financing document. Looking at this, you will come to know there are four or five categories of the types of the document. What are the main document required? One is a commercial document, second one is a transport document, and third one is a regulatory document. These three documents are very, very important as far as international trade is concerned. Now, let us go one by one to understand what these documents are meant for and what is its characteristic features. Documents are used to record a written evidence of having carried out a transaction in both local and in international trade. This particular chapter deals with the documents used in international trade where there is a large number of documents required to satisfy the two basic requirements, visually regulatory requirement as well as operational requirement of the trade. Now, in this, there are five, as I said, there are five type of documents. Commercial document, official document, insurance document, transport document, financial and financing document. Each one of the document has got its own characteristic features. Okay, now let us see one by one the commercial document, what it consists, what are these, what are the characteristic features. Then we'll move to official, insurance, transport and financial and financing documents. Okay, first one is a commercial document. Commercial document. This commercial is a big word. In that, there are various documents which is called as a commercial document. These are, one is an invoice. Now, again, in invoice, there are separate type of invoices. One is a pro forma invoice, commercial invoice, and certified invoice. Okay, this is the invoice part. Second one is a certificate of origin. Second one is a certificate of origin. After invoice, there is a certificate of origin. Then there may be another document which is called as a weight note or certificate. Weight note or certificate. Fourth one is a packing list, how the goods are packed. That is described in that document. That is called packing list. Fifth one, the quality and the inspection certificate. So these documents, whenever it is called by the buyer according to the regulation of his country, then how this is to be prepared, that has been explained here. Now let us see, one by one. Invoice. What is invoice? Invoice is the document where, as per the agreement, there will be a specification of the amount and the cost of the goods or cost of the product and the services which are rendered have been provided by the seller. So who prepares the invoice? Seller prepares the invoice. Exporter prepares the invoice. Then this invoice indicates what must be paid by the buyer. And second, its payment term. Payment term, usually it is the period within which the buyer has to pay or send the payment to the supplier. Okay? In international trade, for the different purposes, different invoices are under different names are issued. Purposes of invoice. Invoice is required, but there are different type of invoices. And in international trade, different invoices and for the different purposes are issued. Under the letter of credit, invoice is drawn as per the terms of the credit. What is mentioned in the letter of credit, accordingly invoice is required to be prepared. Now let us see first pro forma invoice. For your better understanding, pro forma invoice is nothing but, it is, as the name indicates, much before the export deal happens. Okay, and they, both the parties come together and put the terms and conditions into one document. That is called a pro forma. This is what is an offer document. In short, it is an offer document. So the pro forma invoice is delivered to the buyer in a special circumstances. Typically, when all the details for the invoices are not yet known or yet to be finalized, a tentative invoice is prepared, that is called pro forma invoice. This pro forma invoice is the document that states the commitment on the part of the seller to deliver the product or services as notified to the buyer for a specific price. Only these terms are quoted into this. It is not true invoice. True invoice will be formed once the goods are shipped, that is the actual. Much before that, this invoice is issued, that is why it is called as a pro forma invoice. Okay? This is issued in order to declare the value of the goods for the customs. Because much before the export happened, export declaration is required to be filed in the form called EDF to the custom authorities. For that, a particular invoice is required. So that invoice, that declaration is based on this particular pro forma invoice. And this approximately match with the actual invoice when actual export takes place. Commercial invoice. First one we have seen, pro forma invoice. Now commercial invoice. This commercial invoice is the document which is used as a custom declaration document provided the person or the corporation that is exporting the goods across the international border. There is no standard format as such for the commercial invoice. Okay? But parties involved in the shipping transaction, the goods being transported, the country of manufacture, and the harmonized system codes for those goods is required to be mentioned in these invoices, which is very, very essential from the commercial and customs point of view. Okay? Now, another type of invoice is a certified invoice. What is this certified invoice? This is required when the exporter need to certify on the invoice that the goods are of the particular origin. It is manufactured at particular country, at the particular place, and in accordance to the specified contract. That has to be certified on the invoice. That is why it is called as certified invoice. Next type of invoice is a customs invoice. The customs invoice is nothing but the invoice which is specifically required for the usage of the custom authorities. Particularly, this type of invoice is required by the countries like USA and Canada. This is prepared on a special form being presented by the custom authorities of the importing countries. The purpose of this is to facilitate the entry of the goods in the importing country at preferential tariff rate. Okay. Next type of commercial document is certificate of origin. We have seen all the type of invoices. Okay. Then certificate of origin. This certificate of origin indicates that the certificate of it is in the printed form. It is completed by the exporter or its agent, and this is required to be certified by an issuing body attesting that the goods in particular shipment have been wholly produced, manufactured, and also processed in a particular country. Suppose if it is an export from India and there is a requirement to issue the certificate of origin, then Chamber of Commerce issues a certificate in a printed form, and this certificate will be issued. It will clearly state that these goods have been manufactured, produced, and processed in India origin, in India and goods are of India origin only. That is what the meaning of this certificate of origin is. In short, to summarize, a certificate of origin is a document which is used for the certification that the product exported are wholly obtained, produced, manufactured, or processed in the country. It is generally an integral part of the export document. Bombay Chamber of Commerce or Chamber of Commerce and Industries is the official authorized by the Ministry of Commerce in India to issue a certificate of origin of the goods in respect of the export. Bombay Chamber of Commerce attests the export document, the invoice, packing list, and also declaration that as required by the applicant for facilitating their trade activity. For certificate of origin, member needs to provide an indemnity bond of a non-judicial nature valuing stamp paper ₹200. The registration, the member will be provided with the registration number which has to be quoted on each application for this kind of certification. Okay. Third type of commercial document is weight note or weight certificate. This document is normally issued by the customs authorities of the exporting country, certifying that correct gross weight of the goods that is being shipped. Okay. Another type of document, commercial document, is a packing list. This packing list is nothing but it is a catalog of all the articles that are included in one package and that has been shipped from one place to another place. So this packing list is helpful for confirming the number of items and make sure that nothing has been misplaced. Itemized list of articles usually included in each shipping package, giving the quantity, description, then weight of the content prepared by the shipper and sent to the consignee for accurate tallying of the delivered goods. It is also called bill of parcels. It is also called as bill of parcels, packing slip, or unpacking note. It's also called it as. Okay. Now, the quality inspection certificate is the another form of commercial document. Quality certificate or inspection certificate. This is very much required for the goods where it is compulsorily required. Okay. It is important aspect about the goods are to be exported is compulsorily should be a quality control and also pre-shipment inspection. Pre-shipment inspection is also called as PSI, that is pre-shipment inspection, PSI in short form. And it is a part of the supply chain management and it is important and it is reliable quality control method for checking the goods quality while client buy from the supplier. It ensures that the production complies with the specification and the terms of the purchase order or it may be letter of credit. First document we have seen. Second type of document is official documents. What are those official documents means? Official document consists of four type of document. This four type of document consists of consular invoice, legalized invoice, blacklisted certificate, health, veterinary and sanitary certificate, and also the certificate of analysis. These are the four major type of official document which requires depending upon the type of goods that is to be exported and country of the buyer requirement. So, characteristic feature of all these documents are discussed here. First, let us see consular invoice. It is a type of invoice, but not covered under that invoice, that is official document, that is commercial document. It is additional document, that is consular invoice is an additional document in addition to the normal invoice. So what is this consular invoice means? Mainly, the countries like, difficult countries like Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Mauritius, New Zealand, Burma, Iraq, Australia, Fiji, Cyprus, Nigeria, Ghana, Zanzibar, etc. These countries, if you look at, these countries are poor countries, underdeveloped countries. So, they require the consular invoice, just it is prepared in the prescribed format and it is signed and also certified by the consulate general of that country who is working in exporter's country, that is India. So, in short, this for, and it is signed and certified by the consul of the importing country, that is buyer's country, who is located in the country of exporters. So, consulate general in India, consulate general in India of the these countries, these named countries, they have to certify that. Okay. Now, another type of invoice is legalized invoice. Legalized invoice. What is this legalized invoice means? Legalized or wizard invoice is the document which shows seller's genuineness before appropriate consulate or chamber of commerce or embassy. So any invoice which is drawn by the exporter has to be certified by the embassy of that country, means exporter's country. From India export is happening, consulate general in India of that country has to certify that invoice. Blacklisted certificate. Blacklisted certificate means what? Blacklisted certificate is required for the countries which have strained political relationship. And that means difficult political relationship, always issue based. This certifies that ship or the aircraft which is carrying the goods has not touched those countries which are blacklisted. Which are blacklisted. That is required, that certificate is very much required. While booking the export or while booking the transport, this certificate will be issued by the aircraft company or maybe by the shipping company, that this will not touch to the countries where they have the strained relationship of the buyer's country. Health, veterinary and sanitary certificate of analysis. This is required for the export of foodstuff, marine product, hides and invoice stock, etc. Okay, after this official document, the third important is an insurance document. Now, insurance document is very important because it covers the risk and insures the goods. So, in case of any damage happened, the proportionate to the extent of the insurance taken by the either buyer or seller, that will be taken, that will be covered so as to compensate to them. Therefore, this insurance document is very important. Insurance documents are issued in the form of, one is an insurance policy, second one is insurance certificate, third one is an insurance declaration under open cover, and the document should be issued and signed by either insurance company, underwriter, their agent, or their proxies, whoever it may be, it pertains to. Signature by the agent or proxy on the insurance document indicates that as it is signed on behalf of insurance company or underwriter. So, the insurance document as per Article 28 of the UCP 600, okay, are issued, and all original must be presented if the document indicates that more than one original has to be issued. Cover note is not acceptable. Cover note is not acceptable. So, insurance certificate is a must. Then, policy is a must. Insurance policy is acceptable in lieu of insurance certificate or declaration under open cover. Now, this insurance policy is issued not later than the shipment date. Always it has to be issued prior to commencement of the journey of the goods, travel of the goods. Okay, then the coverage, the cost of the goods which is declared by the exporter, always minimum 110% of the CIF value, the insurance policy coverage is required. And if Incoterm CIF and CIP is used, okay, the value, it cannot be determined from the document, then some aspect has to be taken into consideration, such as amount for which the honor or negotiation is requested, or gross invoice value of the goods, or there are two major types of insurance document out of which one is to be considered is marine cargo insurance and marine hull insurance. Cargo insurance and hull insurance are a different insurance. So marine cargo insurance consists of what? The policy covers the goods, freight and their interest against the loss and damage to the goods while being transported from by rail or sea or by air. Different policies are available from the insurance companies depending upon the type of coverage which is required, which is ranging from an all risk cover to the restricted as fire risk only, depending upon the type of coverage. And this policy is freely assignable and is basically is an agreed value policy. If damage happen, you will get only up to this extent. That is what it is mentioned. The type of policies issued to cover this transit are: one, annual turnover policy; second one is a specific wise policy. Annual turnover policy, insurance policy will be issued. Annual turnover policy is for, it covers, this policy, annual turnover policy covers the transit of raw material, semi-finished and finished products, which pertains to the insured trade, that is export, import or interdepartmental movement, which is incidental storage cost from originating point to the destination point on the seamless basis. Specific wise is also covered in marine insurance policy. This policy issued to cover a specific single transit, and this cover ends as soon as the arrival cargo at the place of destination. There is a tendency also for the issuance of another type of policy that is called open policy. Now, this open policy is always open for the particular period. This is an annual cargo insurance contract, okay, and general term are mentioned in that document, which consists of covering the type of good and the period and total sum involved while exporting or exhausting utilization by the exporter. Now, the open policy, this policy is also known as floating policy, which saves the assured inconvenience of affecting individually the insurance and the goods dispatched within the country. Okay? This policy covers both incoming as well as outgoing consignment from anywhere in India to anywhere in India. The sum insured under this policy, okay, should ordinarily represents the assured estimated annual turnover of the goods. Okay. Now, annual policy. Annual policy is granted in respect of the goods which belongs to the assured and held in trust by the assured and not the and it is not the assured and not under the contract of the sale or purchase which are in transit by road, by rail, from specific depot to the processing units, to other specified depot to the processing unit. Important features of annual policy, that is, it is insurable. It has got the insurable interest to remain with the insured. The policy is not assignable or transferable. It cannot be transferred. Issue of annual policy to the transport operators, contractors, clearing and forwarding agents. And lastly, the it is prohibited policy is subject to the condition of average. An open cover. Open cover is an agreement and it is not as a policy. That is why it is not acceptable in most of the import or export cases. Therefore, it requires either policy or a certificate. But open cover, it is not acceptable by the trading community. An open cover is an agreement. It is not a policy where the insurer will accept the insurance of all the shipment made by the assured within the terms of the cover for the fixed period, usually for 12 months. This being an agreement, it is not stamped. However, stamped policy for the certificate of insurance are issued against the declaration made by the assured. The open cover is of the great convenience to the importer and exporter's trade. There are two types of clauses. There is a provision to add the cover. There is also provision to add the covers in inland transit policies that can be extended to the cover the falling perils on shipment by the additional premium. Additional premium is required when there is an SRCC clause. What is this SRCC clause? SRCC clause is nothing but it covers the strike, right, civil commotion. SRCC, this including the Terrorist Act. If anything happens, the coverage will be available. Second one is an FOB, where the inland transit is required to be extended to cover the goods till they are loaded to the boat or vessel. This extension can be taken and the export-import policy can be extended to cover the VAR and SRCC, that is strike right civil commotion, the perils out of it from payment of an additional premium. The other features need to understand is one, marine hull insurance policy. Marine Hull Insurance Policy. This Marine Hull Insurance Policy is a split between the vessel and the cargo. These are the two different vehicles. So insurance of the vessel is generally known as a hull or machinery. Vessel, particularly vessel, if it is insured, then it is called hull or machinery insurance, H&M. Various specialist policies are issued by the insurance companies, which includes new building of the vessel, new building of the risk policy, which covers the risk of the damage to the hull while it is under construction. It is under construction while manufacturing the vessel. Okay. General hull insurance does not cover the risk of the vessel sailing into the war zone. Now, marine hull insurance. There are various specialist policies exist in which includes new building risk. Okay. This covers the risk of damage to the hull while it is under construction. And second one is open cargo shippers interest insurance. Open cargo or shippers insurance. This policy may be purchased by the carrier, freight broker, or shipper, as it's a coverage for the shipper's good. In the event of loss or damages, this type of insurance will pay for true value of its shipment, rather than the legal amount that can be, that carrier can be liable for. New building risk, this covers the risk for damage to the hull while it is under construction. Then yacht insurance is insurance of pleasure craft, and that is generally known as the yacht insurance, and includes the liability coverage. Smaller vessels such as yachts and fishing vessels are typically underwritten on binding the authority or lineship basis. War risk. War risk is generally hull insurance. It does not cover the risk of a vessel which is sailing into the war zone, going through the sea, if the area or zone comes where the war is going on. Then it does not cover the war insurance also. Okay, the risk taken by the sailing Persian Gulf during the Gulf War. That was one incident it is quoted here. The war risk area is established by the London-based Joint War Committee, which has recently moved into including the Malacca Straits as a war risk area due to the privacy. If an attack is classified as an right, then it would be covered by the war risk insurers. Now, increased value. Increased value means this covers to protect the ship owner against any difference between the insured value of the vessel and the market value of the vessel. That is the increased value of vessel. Next one is overdue insurance. Now, overdue insurance is the form of insurance. Now, legally, it is absolute and due to the advance in communications. It was an early form of the reinsurance and was brought by the insurer when the ship was late arriving at her destination port. And there was a risk that might have been lost also. So, the overdue insurance of the Titanic was famously underwritten on the doorstep of Lloyd's. So, thank you very much for the time being.